Joshua, what is our podcast on this week?
So last week we talked about the danger close method of like what happened nearby, what dangers we can experience on day-to-day life. This time we're talking about unintended discipleship. So when you live your day-to-day, you're being discipled by something.
Yes.
So whether that's, you know, TV, music, news, social media, whatever, you're being discipled by something.
Yeah.
And so we're going to kind of talk through some of the pitfalls, some of the positives of your kind of day and what that looks like when you let the wrong thing pour into your life as opposed to something that is truly fulfilling like God's word.
I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, you don't know a copy unless you know the authentic.
Mm.
You don't know a crooked stick unless you have a straight stick to go by.
Sure.
Right? Because, you know, when we evacuated Katrina, we went to Arizona for a while, and it's got a really large Mormon population.
Mm.
And if you've ever spoken with a Mormon, it's presented to be really close. Oh, we're Christians?
Yeah.
We're Christians? Yeah, sure. And if you spend about 5 minutes talking to them, you realize that stick is a little bit crooked,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if you have, like, say, friends that way, I have a friend who is not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to a Mormon. Most of her family is Mormon, except her sister, who's Baptist. She kind of broke off of that. But I remember him, he would reach out and ask questions, you know, about this and that. And you could see that he was being discipled by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes he just goes along because it's, you know, what family we do on Sundays kind of thing. I go there and I think about my fantasy lineup while they're talking kind of
count
thing.
Count the ceiling tiles.
Right. And so, but you could see that it was seeping in enough
mm-hmm.
that he knew some things to ask about.
Yeah.
And he wanted to ask outside of that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're looking at doing something like this, we're like, well, unintended discipleship. It's hard. You think, well, it's really hard to be, you know, find a become a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Au contraire. It's easy to become a disciple is because everything is looking to disciple you.
Yeah.
Influence you. We can call them influencers, right, on social media. And so we picked four different areas: movies, music, TV shows, and
news.
And so in movies, I mean, this has been the case for decades, right,
mm-hmm.
ever since Black and White. How storytelling impacts our moral compass.
Yeah.
You have probably seen a movie that the director has an axe to grind,
mm-hmm.
has an agenda, it doesn't like Christianity, and he goes out of his way or her way to take shots at it.
Yep.
And sometimes it's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so subtle, man, it's like just silky smooth. And you leave there going, what did he mean by that?
Yeah, it's always interesting how much of it bleeds into everything. So me and Heather watch anime, and I find it so hilarious how often the church ends up being the bad guy in a lot of these shows. Of like, it's a corrupt priest, the church is preaching wrong things, it's saying things that are like they're actually trying to help the bad guys
right.
by, you know, sacrificing these kids or whatever the story's saying. And it's so interesting to see that if you were not aware of it and not conscious of it, anything you kind of like sit down and watch will influence you if you're not careful.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, you could see this back up to those Saturday morning cartoons, right? You're probably in your underwear. You're sitting too close to the TV, eating your Fruit Loops.
Mm-hmm.
And on comes a commercial about some toy. They don't do that anymore now.
No, I found a TikTok account that does 90s TV show commercials, and me and Heather will sit down and be like, I remember that toy.
Sure.
The Floam. The Floam thing that you would attach to stuff and would just make objects. But yeah, I mean, that influences, Mom, Dad, I want that Hot Wheels car that does the loop-de-loops in the living room. I want the talking doll that I can feed and change the diaper, all that kind of stuff.
We think that, that's back when I was a child. How easily influenced I was when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen network television and the horrible shows that are on there? They pitch them as reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen commercials try so hard to make the masked singer something relevant. These little clips that they try to, oh no. That's so, so dramatic. And no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a has-been and a suit that never was.
Yeah. Right?
And so we kind of see these movies. And like you said, they're all over the place. There's a section in A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey that the director takes a shot at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are movies set out specifically anti-Christian,
mm-hmm.
The Golden Compass, that Bill Maher travesty, religiousness or something like that, just on and on. There are probably more movies like that than you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to kind of know what we're about to expose ourselves to.
Yeah.
And movies is a big thing because it's right there.
Yeah.
It's on our phones, it's on our TVs, computers everywhere. And, you get, I don't think they intended to do that, but they did.
Yeah.
And so I think as they have changed ratings throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see a little bit more ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see that there are channels or platforms that it's like, look, if you're going to do that, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And something like, what's the name of that one?
Is it the Comedy
Angel
Channel?
Studios?
Yeah, VidAngel is one of them that removes anything that's kind of like anything cursing, drinking, that kind of stuff, any kind of like sexual suggestive stuff. But even like Dry Bar Comedy, it's an entire channel dedicated to comedians who do not curse and do not talk about suggestive material.
Right. And then there's VidAngel, but this is actually Angel Studios. This is the one that put out the Bonhoeffer movie just recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff like that. Now, I don't know if that is a Mormon-based thing or not, as far as the studios or not. Case in point, right?
Yeah.
Our next one is music.
Music. So this is interesting for us because we have been getting into record vinyls recently, and it's been interesting because I was telling you about it recently. We walk into a record store and I realize how musically illiterate I am of just how many artists I don't know.
Sure.
And so I walk away and I go, oh, what was the top rated records of last year? And I should have seen it coming, but like 90% of them were like explicit to the nth degree, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like F-bombs, all the fun, spicy language that they wanted to throw in there. And it's interesting because I was recently seeing someone was talking about New Year's resolutions, and they were talking about how they actually took all of January, instead of doing like a dry January, they only listened to like Christian music. They sustained from secular music.
Sure.
And I was like, that's really interesting. I'm surprised that that's not a more common thing, because you can see that this is that silky smooth thing where you're singing along and all of a sudden, well, it doesn't sound so bad to drop that curse word because you're just singing along, right?
It's in context.
Right? Yeah, you're just repeating what you're kind of listening to. And then all of a sudden, you're humming it to yourself.
Mm.
And that sneaks its way into your vocabulary. And that's just the words. I mean, your case in point about the WAP song. I mean, talk about degrading women. One of God's creation that you're talking about, right?
Sure.
And whether you wanted to or not, if you were unconscious about it and not very proactive about shielding yourself on that, that will corrupt you eventually.
Oh, yeah. And, even, let's just say, quote-unquote Christian music, not everything is theologically sound. So he starts singing stuff that sounds great, sounds like, man, what a wonderful song. Theologically broken, you know? Yes. It's like, where's this coming from, you know? So you got to watch that, too. That's another whole topic. But if you want to kind of get your eyebrows raised, go listen to rap from the 80s. I grew up listening to Run DMC,
mm-hmm.
Houdini, LL Cool J, back when he was not an actor, but a musician. And then go listen to something in the last, like, say, decade.
Yeah.
Brace yourself,
because
it's quite different.
Yeah.
And for every genre, and I used to help out a radio station find alternatives. Like, if you like Eminem,
mm-hmm.
probably the best rapper out there, right? I mean, just horrible lyrics.
Yeah.
He can't help himself. He says a million words per song, so he's got to get a cover all of them. He's like the William Shakespeare or the Stephen King of songs. I think more words, the better.
I'm trying to hit a word count, and, you know, that's what my goal is.
And go. So you want to find NF, right? So every band that is on one extreme, there's probably another band on the other extreme.
Yeah.
And so we listen to, that's why I'm kind of always like stuck in the, in this 80s,
mm-hmm.
you know, Journey don't play that. So, it's important for us to think of music because our children, you guys, you and Noah and your kids
mm-hmm.
are going to hear songs
yeah.
at some point. And you and I went to a record store a couple of weeks ago and there they play songs in the shop
mm-hmm.
to help you expose you to other yep. Artists. And some are like, do you take requests? Oh yeah, we do. Can you please stop playing that song?
Anything else? I'll take Jingle Bells.
That's a request.
Yeah.
So music, it's everywhere and we are exposed to it.
Yeah. So. I find it's one of the kind of sneakier versions of it too. Cause you may not think about it, but all it takes is a catchy tune with some very horrible lyrics, and you can be humming that to yourself, and you wouldn't even think twice about it.
So Marilyn Manson, right? Satanic band, leader, that type thing. They really go out of their way to craft songs that people like to listen to, the tones of them, you know? And if you read anything about them or the songs,
mm-hmm.
you're like, what in the world? So, you know, not everything is that shines or sparkles as gold.
Sure.
The next one is TV shows.
Yeah, TV shows. I mean, we talk about this a little bit in the movies too, but it's the same thing, right? We pop TV shows like Pringle can, right? Mm-hmm. Got one, can't stop, can marathon all of this kind of thing. And I think it's especially evident now for the new ones coming out, because it definitely feels like everything's got something to say about something with the news, right? Whether it's like all-inclusive, and that used to be something very different when I was younger as it is now.
Sure.
And it's always interesting because I've been in scenarios where I'll start watching a series, and then all of a sudden, after like a season or two, here comes the token atheist, gay person, fill-in-the-blank person.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't think I should be watching this anymore.
Right. They got you hooked on the first couple.
Right.
Now we're going to introduce our agenda.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that can be hard. I mean, I've had series where it's like, it's that last season. You're like, really, guys, we're throwing this in the last little bit here. Or, mm-hmm. oh, okay. So that, you know, if I was talking about this in church, how would people respond to that?
Right.
That's a good barometer. If you were talking about this show to your Bible study leader or your pastor, how would they respond? That's a good barometer to be like, should I be watching this or not?
There are certain channels or networks that I would need a neck brace. I'm shaking my head toward these. Like, I don't even watch any of these.
Yeah.
Pardon me. It's just a commercial of it.
Yeah.
And so you're going to try to sell me on this, and that's probably going to be the best of it, right? The most alluring part of it, so that when I start watching it, that's when you're kind of like, well, yeah, they're going to fit this in kind of thing. If the commercial of it is horrible, what is the show going to be like?
That's right.
And so, you know, cultural normalization of themes like materialism. What is it, Deal or No Deal? Right. I don't watch that anymore, but now it's on an island. I think back when, I think Howie Mandel did it on whatever, some stage with suitcases or whatever. Now it's an island. Everything's on an island.
Yeah.
Wish they'd put Congress on an island. That'd be great. sexuality, relativism, humanism. Every ism you want out there. What's on network TV today would never have been allowed 25 years ago. That was like, well, that's got to be cable. There's no way we can do that on network television. And so, you know, when you're binge watching a show, the danger of it is there's so much of it. It covers so much ground through that lens. You leave there. I mean, if I told you in a conversation, just one conversation, I said, man, I really like Chinese food. You should try it. Compared to, I am going to spend the next 12 hours talking to you about Chinese food. You might feel a little more persuaded after 12 hours of listening to me talk about Chinese food.
Right?
And so pretty much every reality show out there is focused on some sin. It just feels like it's one or more of the deadly sins. And so when we went streaming probably a decade ago, which is all norm now, but back then, we were very early on, we cut the cord and went streaming. We got away from network television then also commercials. Oh my goodness, commercials. Oh my goodness. And so, you know, what we expose ourselves to on TV, you know, it seeps in. There are some great shows out there that but you got to look for it. There are some good things out there. It's not as much as the bad things.
Sure. And if you're not, you know, looking at these shows through, you know, this lens of truth here, you know, it'll seep in and be real quiet. It'll be real luring. And if you aren't careful and guard your heart in those scenarios, you may turn around and you be a mile away from that line in the sand that you're like, oh man, I didn't think I'd ever say that word. And now here I am saying that word in casual conversation.
Right, right. Well, we've probably spent more time on this here, just so much of it on this side of it. But I want to encourage the listeners to visit our website at uncommon.org. Check out some of the content related to what we expose ourselves to. And there's one, PTSD, Battle for the Mind. You know, while we're always focused on like, well, maybe war does that or trauma or rape or whatever, that battle of the mind happens on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Channel 4 every night of the week. And so check out the website. Get some resources and also stay tuned for some sponsors of Uncommon. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, welcome back to our second segment of Unintended Discipleship. The first segment, they were easy punching bags, right? They were like, you know, what, the movies, music, TV shows, news. Actually, we didn't even get to news in the last one. It kind of speaks for itself. If you want some good news, don't turn into the news.
No one walked away from news going, you know what? That was really helpful. I enjoyed that today. I'm going to go start my great day now.
That is great that Becky met her goal of selling Girl Scout cookies and went on vacation with her family. That is awesome. La, la, la. No, it doesn't happen that way.
No.
No, that doesn't sell. But our second segment is maybe being influenced or discipled by our family, other people in our lives, and social media.
Yeah.
You know, that we'll just kind of lump that into maybe extended family and friends, because sometimes that's the reason why people are on there.
Yeah.
My reason is to share funny memes. That's my purpose, right? But some people get on there to connect with family across the country.
Yeah.
And I do that too to some degree. But in the area of family, I would love to say that every family has a godly dad and or a godly mom or godly grandparents that pour into the children and grandchildren and point them to Jesus. Unfortunately, that's not the case all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have a broken bit of a family, might be a divorce. There might be no parent in the picture, only one parent. Might be in foster care, all this kind of stuff, right? But families, the parents, have a tremendous part in shaping and influencing children.
Yeah.
And so we can kind of see that in, you know, even our family. We have some family that the parents are atheists. So they've turned their kids into atheists.
Yeah.
It wasn't open to them to make a decision for themselves. We're atheists, so you're going to be atheists.
Yeah.
When we presented the gospel to you, it was your decision to make yes or no. And you did that for yourself. Once you did that, we then started to encourage you in growth in discipleship. But you get to see that family has a huge impact on people. I always talk about the Jackie Robinson movie, 42. Kid's there with his dad. I probably mentioned this a couple times on the podcast. With his dad at a baseball game. They're having a great time in stands. They're cheering, you know, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, Jackie Robinson comes out. And the dad starts yelling all these racial slurs at Jackie. And the son sees that. And this goes from a normal conversation with his dad about baseball and the day and all that kind of thing to mimicking what his dad is saying at Jackie and yelling racial slurs too. That's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to see. It's hard to hear. But dads, you impact your children.
Yes.
And so I'm sure all of us have something or some person in mind when we think of that person had a huge impact on me. You know, good, bad, or in between, we all have them.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as a father figure, and that goes for biological children, adoption, even just someone who you see as a father figure.
Sure, uncles, friends, whatever.
You know, that plays a huge role in how, you know, those kids will present themselves. But then also, you know, how you treat your spouse is a huge thing, because that was one of the huge things that we've looked at for all the marriage studies that we've done, is how you viewed your parents interacting with each other.
Sure.
If it was it loving, was it caring, or was it belligerent? Was it aggressive? Was there very clear cut on the bread maker? What I say goes, you just stay in the kitchen. What did you see growing up that impacts what you do in your relationship growing up? And, you know, that may not be something that you're thinking about, how I talk to my spouse in the moment, in the heat of the moment of saying something that I shouldn't, impacts little Johnny who sees that and goes, oh, so dad, okay, so I guess guys can just treat girls that way, and balloons from there. So, you know, making sure that we guard what we say, what we think, and what we do, especially when around family, because everything we do communicates how we spend our time, our money, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, these kids are like sponges. They soak up everything around them. I mean, they have so much vying for their attention as it is with TV, movies, music, all that kind of stuff. But you are such a huge influence as a father figure to them. you know, and, you know, we're already flawed as humans, but,
sure,
you know, we need to make sure that, you know, they can at least understand there's a perfect father for you.
Right.
Who to really base it off of.
Right.
And go from there.
I may not get it right all the time, but this is the goal.
Right? Yeah.
You've heard that, you know, dads, parents, your goal, your calling is to be that encouraging, protective, driving force in your children's life to Christ. Mm-hmm. When those who don't want to do that, you've heard this statement, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually parroted from a rocking recliner somewhere in someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I need to do that when you don't do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just do what I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to be an example when you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And what tends to happen is that you are, here we go, my anti-role models. Everybody's a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone listening to this, everyone on this planet is a role model. It's just if you are a good one or a bad one.
Yeah.
And I've always had anti-role models in my life. There are people in my life that were good role models. But obviously, like you said, everybody's flawed.
Yeah.
So it's hard to look at one and say, I want to be like that.
Yeah, I'm all in on this one person.
Right. He's not Superman, right? It's got some flaws to it. And so I want to pick and choose and glean the positives from that person and mimic that.
Yeah.
And overlook that person is flawed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have someone who's actively a bad role model, you can learn what not to be as well. And unfortunately, that was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to throw him under the bus, but he was not a great role model.
Mm-hmm.
And so he taught me what not to be, what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think he knew that. I never told him that, but that's what he was.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of dads out there in that same boat that you may not think you're doing this to your children, but you are.
Yeah.
And so they see you.
Mm-hmm.
That may not look like it is happening either, but
they
see you.
Mm-hmm.
So friends and community.
Yeah.
Right? So you surround yourself with some friends. And Jesus ate with the sinners.
Yeah.
I was reading the other day, poor tax collectors, they get it, right? They're like, why are your disciples eating with the sinners and tax collectors?
Why you got to call them out like that?
Come on, man. It's just a job. Poor tax collectors. But you start surrounding yourself with friends that, maybe bad character, bad traits, like you said, from the person in college. You work at a company and you're surrounded by 5, 10, 20, 30 people. Whew, you might feel that you are alone on much of what you believe in.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people struggle, that I can't talk about my faith at work because everybody I work with is atheist.
Yeah.
And I was always open with my faith at work. I felt like, well, if you have a platform to be anti-God, then I should have a platform to be pro-God.
Yeah.
I don't walk around like a baseball bat, but if you ask me what I did this weekend, it's probably going to involve something around my faith.
Yeah.
Well, I went to church Sunday and got a chance to go to, you know, a men's Bible study on a Saturday morning, like we're doing this coming Saturday. You know, just spend some time with family kind of thing. How about you?
Yeah.
That's how it starts. That's what my thing. And if you got offended by that, then don't ask me what I did the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes the same way. If I ask you and you're like, well, we, you know, sacrificed goats in the backyard to, you know, a pagan god, I'll know better to ask next time, right? So in your community, I mean, obviously, just because you live next door to someone doesn't mean that they believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Many of them make your friends. Mm-hmm. They're just neighbors.
Yep.
I've tried to go out and befriend, like, Ronnie across the street, Keith next door. Some people, hand in glove, man. Peanut butter and jelly. Ronnie and I, two ball guys talking. We have a great time. Sometimes other people are like, well, It's a bit like pulling teeth. Not everybody is a great communicator. They want to just, you know, wave and walk inside.
Happy or closed door is a happy door.
Sometimes a quiet neighbor is a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And I get that. So,
yeah.
Community. So you've just moved into a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
How has your community interacted with you guys?
So our neighbors across the street have been really welcoming. They come over every once in a while when they see us out. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, you know, talk to us and say they're so happy to see us in the neighborhood. Halloween was a great opportunity for everyone to kind of come by, asking for candy. So we met a lot of new people there. So it's been really welcoming. The neighbors next door to us, directly next to us, is an older couple. And they are super sweet, and they've already invited us over. Like, every time I make chili, I'm inviting you over. So they're super nice. But on the flip side of that, about five houses down on the other side of the street, there's a person who's running a pride flag on their front porch.
Okay.
And so you can see there's a little bit of, you know, mixed bag there where, you know, when we walk around the neighborhood, I like to pray over the people that we're kind of walking around. Mm. But, you know, you see in that scenario, if you can run your pride flag, then I should be able to run my Christian flag with the cross on it and says Jesus saves kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you will find people in your neighborhood that have differing beliefs of you, and that will impact you in some capacity.
Sure.
You know, especially if you're a people pleaser. I know some people who are like, well, I need to be friends with every person around me.
Right.
You don't get a choice in this. You're my friend now, kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, that is not always the case. So you can always be a mixed bag. You know, I make sure that, you know, we are polite neighbors to everybody, kind of thing. But I do think it's interesting, real quickly on the friends thing, is one of the dangers I find, and this was a lot through college, it can be in the workplace too, but you get a bunch of guys together and you get locker room talk.
Sure.
And what happens in those kind of conversations feels a lot more acceptable than if it was outside of that conversation.
Right.
Talking about women, maybe some other things going on in your life that you may shouldn't be talking about.
Sure.
And that can, you know, impact how you view these things. You surround yourself with a bunch of guys who talk about derogatory terms about women. That's how you're going to kind of view them, kind of thing.
Sure.
So, you know, it's important that, you know, we recognize that Jesus did eat with the sinners, but we also need to recognize that Jesus did step away from them and pray to the Lord consistently.
Sure.
And minister to them. It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to eat lunch with you and pal around and joke about the waitress kind of thing, but it's, I'm going to minister to you as a fellow sinner to the grace that God has given us, kind of thing.
Right. He was there to influence those people,
right,
not to be influenced by them.
Yeah.
There's a difference there. The next one is social media, right? And what's odd about this one is that, well, even all the music and movies and all that, we have the choice to not participate.
Yeah.
And so we have some friends that... they can't seem to play nice with people. So they realize this, so they can't be on social media.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, little Billy realized that he was just trying to be right on everything and fighting everybody about politics.
Yeah.
And so it just became a point where he had to, like, step away because it was just, like, making them miserable, always fighting about something. And so... social media is an oddity that it's no more social than standing in line at the DMV, right? But for most people, I mean, I try to be social in that. Birthdays, comments in the certain sections. But we do allow that to influence us of, oh, look, somebody's living high on the hog. They got a third sports car. Like, oh, okay. Well, so if that is going to influence you and cause you to stumble, maybe this is something that you maybe want to step away from.
Yeah.
I don't know if a whole lot of people go to their social media with the intent of, I'm going to share the gospel with some of my friends and family.
Yeah.
And I have some friends that, you know, obviously in family that do share, you know, Christian quotes and memes and this and that kind of thing. Whenever I share something about Uncommon on that. And actually, it's going to sound odd. I didn't share that on my personal timeline for many years because mm-hmm. I knew my dad was on social media and I didn't want his comments mm-hmm. anywhere near that universe. So I did not do any of that. Mm-hmm. He passed away a couple of years ago. And I felt that I could then share some of that. I know that sounds horrible, but that's just the reality of it. I didn't make it. It's just how it was. Mm-hmm. Dana's like, how are you so well adjusted to that? I don't know. God made me like a Teflon when it came to that. But, you know, I share that on my social quite often. And hopefully that is a great use of social media.
Yeah.
I don't always think it is the best use, right?
Yeah. It's hard because social media does the same thing in my mind as almost reality TV show. It hits the seven deadly sins mm-hmm. square in the mouth, right? Yeah. You wanna feel some envy, you go look at your well-off friends on there buying their seventh speedboat.
Right.
You want to find lust, you got plenty of women in bikinis showing off, right? Sure. And everything in between, cursing, fighting, wrath, all the good stuff. Now, obviously, you get what you put into a certain extent. And if you're looking at those things, that's what you're going to show. I mean, we talked about this earlier about, the algorithms, all these social media things show you what you're kind of wanting to see. So mm-hmm. you go out of your way, look at women in bikinis, or you go look up, inappropriate cursing and stuff like that. It's going to show you more of that.
Sure.
Now, I know plenty of people who are like, I have an addictive personality. I don't want to be part of this. And that's totally fine. And you're glad you can kind of recognize that in yourself and kind of pull away. I mean, if you find that it's really hurting you spiritually, then yeah, by all means, don't interact with social media.
Yeah.
It doesn't do a whole lot beneficial for anything else, right? Mm. But, you know, if you're doom scrolling or you just kind of looking through your feeds, know that everything on your screen in this field of vision, ads, posts by your friends, everything is vying for your attention and you are absorbing it in some capacity if you are not careful.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about, you know, like what you watch a lot of is delivered to you mm-hmm. in volume with these algorithms. You don't even have to like something. You're just going to watch it for a little bit and it says, oh, you must want to see that. So when I look at, and I was a TikTok adopter early on, even Instagram, I like somewhat shorter videos, and even the 3 to 10 minute kind mm-hmm. I watch too. But I liked that I could kind of craft that mm-hmm. algorithm. So now, when we first started, it was like people dancing around, whatever that craze was. But now it's food, it's Christian stuff, it's business, vinyl, maybe some sports, that kind of thing. I don't get the bouncing bikini girls anymore, mm-hmm. right? Once you not interested, or you don't follow that, you don't search it kind of thing, it doesn't show up. So when someone's saying, well, I don't like seeing all that, well, it's probably because you're not adjusting the algorithm to do that. And so if you want to partake in that, I think is a way that you can do it to be beneficial. But if you let it run its course, it's not going to be very beneficial. I mean, like you said, keeping in this proper priority, stop comparing, maybe stop pushing your agenda, right? If you, little Billy was trying to push his agenda and nobody was not down with it, which is odd because theoretically you are friends and family following you. So it's kind of like going to a family function and having the uncle show up. It's like, now that I have you here,
here's your boxing gloves and I'm gonna put mine on and we're gonna stand in the corners.
Right. And so even though I have one here, if you can't get along, get off the platform.
Yeah.
And so we all have something, whether it be social or music, TV, whatever it is, in our lives that is disciplining us. And so I think it's important to recognize that, identify if that is having an impact on you, and make the right adjustment for it.
Right. And if you're not spending it, but if you're spending more time on all the topics that we've talked about today and not the word, That's your first thing. This needs to be the top priority of what you're being discipled by. Then the other things will have less grip on you.
Right. This was called unintended discipleship. Yeah. So I specifically left off the Bible. But at the end of this, you should be saying to yourself, what about the Bible? Well, that's unintended discipleship. That is intended discipleship. And we should be, I wish our screen time on the Bible could show up. I mean, I'm sure all of us don't spend enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah, every week I get a notice, you know, you spent X amount of time on your thing this week. We should be spending more time in the Word.
Definitely.
So, well, hopefully this has, again, hit someone right square in the chops, like it did me, with things that are disciplining me that I may not realize. Mm. And so hopefully I can make some adjustments for myself and you can for you as well. In the meantime, check out our content library over at uncommon.org. Check out our membership. You get full access to everything we offer and then some. So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.